Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to another edition of Railbird Central here on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, and we're getting ready this week for a Green Bay Packers game on Monday Night Football. Not the same without Hank Williams Jr. doing his "Are you ready for some football?" That whole thing was just weird, wasn't it? His references to Hitler and Barack Obama. It's a shame. I like the song. Oh well. We'll get over it. Thank you for joining us today. If you want to tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV, your comments will show up on our live blog, or feel free to comment away. Your comments are being approved by our live blog director, Jamie George, this morning. And at the top of the live blog, I've left a link to this morning's Packers Daily Links. If you click that link in, it'll take you to this morning's news of the day at CheeseheadTV.com. And the top story today, a Packers administrator takes a leave of absence. Vice President Jason Weed is on indefinite leave of absence. The report from the Green Bay Press Gazette, quote, "Jason is going to take some time to take care of a personal matter. Our senior staff and leadership team will handle his duties during his absence," end quote. That is from Packers President Mark Murphy, as reported by the Press Gazette. So, it comes as a surprise. This is a person who was a finalist to take over Murphy's job. A finalist to take over from former Packers president Bob Harlan. That pretty much the guy who makes most of the decisions and the recommendations that can affect the future of the franchise. You know, the big decisions, who the general manager is. And the general manager, in turn, decides who the coaches is. And who the players are, or drafts them, signs them, things like that. And, decisions on what happens at Lambeau Field, the expansion, things like that. There was just the big decision, which Weed was a big part of it, for the construction that started right now on Lambeau Field, adding about 10,000 seats or so to the south end zone. So kind of comes as a surprise. But, it is a front office matter. The regular fan, I don't think, is going to notice too much, if any, of a difference, especially if this is temporary. They gave no more information about the reason for his absence, whether it could be health-related or something else. If it is definitely only a short-term thing, probably the casual fan will notice nothing. Should it be a long-term thing, then maybe, who knows, maybe you see a difference. I've heard nothing but good things about Jason Weed. I've never read a negative thing about him, so hope he gets over whatever the issue is being. What caused this? What brought this on? But best of luck to him, and hope he gets back. Other news from yesterday. The Packers made a roster move. A minor one. Not even on the 53-man roster. But now, on the practice squad, they re-signed offensive lineman Chris Campbell to the practice squad. Released Paul Fenaroli, which was kind of weird because it was for 1 week. They must have really not liked what they saw out of Paul Fenaroli on their practice squad, because he was around to prepare for the Chargers game. You know what, the Packers helped them prepare for the Chargers game, and that was it. But the Packers get back Chris Campbell. He's a guy who spent all last year on the Packers practice squad. I think he was signed at some point near midseason or early in the season, but, you know, ended the year on the practice squad, actually got a Super Bowl ring for being part of last year's team that won the Super Bowl, even though he didn't play in it. But was in training camp with the Packers this year, signed to a contract, ended up getting injured and then later cut. But now the Packers have brought him back, so it kind of remains to be seen how he fits into the Packers' future plans. Jamie Jors on our live blog saying, Chris Campbell is back. He's really nice on Twitter. I'll have to follow him. I think I do follow him. I don't follow enough of what the Packers players are saying on Twitter. But anyhow, those are kind of the headlines coming out of 1265 Lombardi Avenue yesterday. The Packers, you know, not a whole lot of news came out yesterday regarding the Packers. It was just a day in which the Packers were reviewing film from the San Diego Chargers game. They, it's kind of a weird week because the Packers play on Monday night football. You know, typically they play on Sundays, obviously. But with playing on Monday night football this week, they kind of have a weird schedule. They actually got Monday off totally, which probably was a good thing for them. You know, they're coming back from a long trip on the West Coast and a late afternoon game, so they got Monday off. Then they reviewed film on Tuesday, a job they normally do on Monday. And now they're getting today off again, like they typically would after reviewing film, except it's coming one day later. First day of practice this week doesn't come until Thursday. And, of course, tomorrow we're all waiting for Mike Neal's return to the defensive line. You know, I wanted to talk about something this day, today, about the pass rush for the Packers. As related to Mike Neal and some other players as well. And on our live blog right now, comment from Stuart, good morning, America. Scotland calling 5x5. Good morning, Stuart, or at least it's morning here. I suppose it's afternoon over there in Scotland. But thank you for joining us halfway across the world. So that's fantastic that Railbird Central and Cheesehead TV reaching the far corners of the globe. Anyhow, as I was saying, I want to talk about the Packers pass rush today. A comment or a topic we pick up from time to time, and I think it's appropriate with Mike Neal coming back. The Packers have not exactly gotten a lot of pass rush this year, and especially not from the defensive line. And you know, the Packers have not gotten much of a pass rush at all from, you know, anyone other than B.J. Raji and Jarius Wynn. It's almost non-existent outside of those two guys, and them themselves haven't got too much either. Jarius Wynn, after getting three sacks early, has now been shut out in the sack department for several games, and B.J. Raji hasn't provided much of a pass rush all year. Two sacks on the year only, one in which he didn't even tackle the quarterback, just forced him out of bounds. So, not a whole lot coming there. And I wanted to propose a little bit of an interesting thought I had in my mind that I may write a blog post about, and perhaps the listeners can tell me whether this would be a worthy blog post. So, the Packers' leading sack person, leading sacker on the year, is linebacker Desmond Bishop, an inside linebacker. You know, typically a guy who lines up, you know, 4 or 5 yards off the line of scrimmage and, you know, basically only rushes the passer on a blitz, you know, as opposed to, you know, B.J. Raji, who rushes the passer every time there's a pass play, or at least 99% of the time, we're acutely aware of when he dropped into coverage last year against the Chicago Bears in the NFC Championship game, and what that the impact that play had on the game. But 99% of the time, he's rushing on every play, as is Jarius Winn and to a lesser extent, Clay Matthews and the other outside linebacker, whoever it may be, Eric Walden, Frank Zombo, Brad Jones, who rush quite a bit. But, you know, Desmond Bishop probably gets, 10 rushes a game, 10 blitzes a game, roughly. I mean, sometimes more, sometimes less. But, he's turning out to be one of the Packers' better pass rushers, and a guy they could stand to rush more often. And part of the reason they don't rush Desmond Bishop is because they need him in pass coverage. When you look at the two inside linebackers, Desmond Bishop and A.J. Hawk, they don't rush Bishop because they need him in pass coverage as opposed to A.J. Hawk. A.J. Hawk is becoming so slow, he cannot cover anyone. We saw it several times this year, you know, especially early in the season. You can have some nightmares thinking back to week one against the Saints when A.J. Hawk could not cover Darren Sproles out of the backfield. And it continued with Matt Forte against the Bears, a pretty good receiving running back out of the backfield. And it even happened against Mike Tolbert of the San Diego Chargers, who, while a decent running back, speed is not his forte. But even A.J. Hawk couldn't keep up with him. And, I mean, we can have the debate here, whatever happened to A.J. Hawk's speed. He looked like a sideline-to-sideline player in college at Ohio State, and it's gone now in the pros, and, you know, maybe outside his first couple of years with the Packers, it's just not there anymore. Stewart says, could they be missing Chiller? They are to an extent. They could use Chiller in pass coverage. I mean, he had his issues as well, but I'll tell you what, Brandon Chiller is better than A.J. Hawk in pass coverage. Comment from Baboons, Hawk couldn't cover Ant Gert. That's a good one. That's a good one. And he's having struggling do it. So anyway, they need Bishop in pass coverage. Bishop, you know, was covering Antonio Gates this past game against the San Diego Chargers. Did a very nice job, of course, on the interception. In which he tipped the pass to Charlie Peppra, but at other times got beat by Antonio Gates. And anyway, here's what I'm proposing, and tell me what you think of this, is maybe it's time to make the switch to DJ Smith instead of A.J. Hawk on passing downs. Not on all downs, but maybe on passing downs. Now, I don't really know what to think of this. I have very little to go off of on DJ Smith other than some preseason action in which, you know, we don't have a ton of film on him. I didn't see a whole lot. You know, in that case, if this were to work, you know, they could blitz a guy like Desmond Bishop more often, you know, where they don't have to worry about A.J. Hawk in coverage. But, you know, here's the thing. DJ Smith, and I'm only going off his 40-yard dash time from the NFL Combine, but it wasn't fast. It was like 4.75. And that's not really, you know, I that's not really good. You know, that's not up there with the elite inside linebackers in the NFL. But I guess the question is it faster than A.J. Hawk? Can A.J. Hawk run a 4.75 anymore? I I don't know. He probably hasn't run a 40-yard dash and probably doesn't want to anymore either. But, I wonder whether this could help the Packers. DJ Smith showed to be a tackling machine in the preseason. He was in college. He's racked up over 400 tackles in college. You know, in 4 years, that's over 100 tackles a year, obviously. And it's not like that's tough to do if you're a starter that plays all the time. But, still, he's like made the most tackles in the history of Appalachian State where he went to college. And if I'm correct, he was the Packers' leading tackler in the preseason. You know, in limited action, he's basically only playing in the second half of games. You know, not that that held was a hard and fast rule that held true every game, but I mean, it's not like he was a starter and playing four quarters. And he's the Packers' leading tackler on special teams so far this year, tied for the team lead. Six special teams tackles, something like that. So he's very active. He has some instincts, has a nose for the football. And I just wonder if, you know, DJ Smith would be a better option than A.J. Hawk, at least in pass coverage. You know, it's just something that's gone through my head. You know, and we saw Desmond Bishop is not the greatest in pass coverage either. And another reason why he might be more effective on the blitz. Stuart commenting on the live blog. Last year, the Pack picked up Howard Green in week 7 and played the remainder of the year. I think they need someone else in the DL rotation. Please come back, Mike Neal. He's going to get the shot before anybody else. Mike Neal, like I said, I believe the last podcast, it's going to be baby steps with him, though. You know, what I would expect to happen is you'll see him practice in limited fashion on Thursday. Maybe limited fashion all week this week. And that's the first baby step he takes is he went from not practicing to practicing in limited fashion. Maybe next week he goes to practicing in full fashion, full participation. And then maybe the week after that he finally plays. And maybe the week after that he finally starts. And maybe the week after that he finally makes an impact. So anyway, you know, That's what I'm thinking is going to happen with Mike Neal. Maybe not as precise as I made it out to be, but his week-by-week progression. But anyway, I think that's what could happen. Kyle Cousineau commenting on the live blog, Mike Neal will be this year's James Starks late-season spark plug. Guarantee it. I think that's what everybody hopes could happen. A guy who is injured early in the year, last year it was James Starks, was on the PUP, physically unable to perform list, early in the year, couldn't even practice until midseason, not allowed to by NFL rule, and then ended up practicing for a couple weeks, starting to get healthy, and, you know, comes back and starts to play a little bit late in the season, and the playing time just picked up and you know, kept gaining and gaining until he was a huge factor in the playoffs. In the Super Bowl, even. So, Mike Neal, you hope that, you know, that that's what will happen there, and he'll continue to do that. And it'll have an impact in several areas of the team. You hope. I hope. Not only does everyone hope that Mike Neal will be a good player, he'll provide a pass rush. He could also stuff the run. You hope these things happen. But then, you know, the other thing that could happen is, you know, it's more of a rotation in which B.J. Raji is perhaps playing fewer snaps than he is now. You know, B.J. Raji is just kind of having an average season. Not bad, but nobody's like... there aren't too many people out there saying B.J. Raji's having a Pro Bowl season. And some people think that You know, it could be due to him playing too many snaps. You know, is he getting tired? Is he getting worn down? Well, Mike Neal comes back, and all of a sudden the Packers have a little more depth at the defensive line and a little more upside than perhaps a C.J. Wilson or a Howard Green have. So, there you go. From Stewart, Smith definitely a sound tackler on special teams. You figure Capers would have used him by now. Maybe Rob Francois closer. I mean, that's the question. You know, is it time to make a move to DJ Smith and give him a chance? Is it time to give Vic Sooto a chance? Some people have thought that with Frank Zombo now out, at least this week, with a hamstring injury, his third injury of the year, maybe that'll open another door for Vic Sooto. All I can say is don't count on it. I've been saying this for weeks to give Vic Sooto a chance, but apparently the coaching staff doesn't feel the same way with the Packers, and they're just not giving Vic Sooto a chance. Mike McCarthy says it's because he's not playing on special teams, or that's a way for him at least to be active. And I'm not sure how much I buy that, because I think his impact's going to be on defense, not on special teams. But anyhow, Kyle Cousineau commenting on the live blog, I wonder if guys like Smith and Sooto have a full grasp of the defense. You don't want to throw them out there if they don't understand all the details of Dom Capers' defense. And you know, that's probably the case. That's probably the case, that they do not have a full grasp of the defense and they don't want them to be a liability. Colleen comments, we need something added to the D from a depth standpoint. I agree with Woodson saying something different needs to be done. Here's what I think is okay, they don't have a full grasp of the defense, but I think you can do something with, especially a guy with like Vic Sooto, who played lights out in the preseason, right? Nobody's going to deny that. He had a great preseason. You know, some people might argue it came against, you know, other team's second stringers. But there were also times when they did come against first stringers as well. And, you know, it's Vic Sooto. I think what you do with a guy like him is you give him a chance to play sparingly. You figure out certain packages he can play in. Maybe he only plays 5 snaps a game, you know, at least to start out with. I think you do that, and you know, you increase the playing time. He gets experience. He learns. He can learn from his mistakes, and you hope with something like 5 snaps, the mistakes are minimal. But anyway, you know, I think that's what you do. You bring him along slowly, but you do give him the playing time to see what you've got, because the Packers are not getting it from the outside linebacker position opposite Clay Matthews. Of course, I say this knowing that this was perhaps Eric Walden's best game of the year last week against the San Diego Chargers. I don't know how much that's saying. He hasn't really played great this year, especially against the run, never has. But he did finally show a little bit of a pass rush against the Chargers, flushing Philip Rivers from the pocket for his sack that he got on Sunday in San Diego. Regardless, you can play Eric Walden. I mean, he's obviously got more experience than Vic Sooto, but I think there could be a timeshare there, or several packages that they're bringing Sooto along, and finding out if he can. If he can do something for this defense, if he can do that. DJ Smith is already active. I mean, he's on special teams. Now it's just a matter of, can he play on defense? And with DJ Smith, I don't think you put him out there full time. But, you know, if can you put him out there in certain passing situations? Perhaps. Maybe. I don't know. Like I said, is it worth it even to have him out there when in passing situations? Maybe what the Packers have to do in third and long is go to the dime. You know, dime situation where they're bringing an extra defensive back on the field. If they just need that speed, people will cringe at the thought of Jarrett Bush out there. Although this is a Jarrett Bush who has a interception in the Super Bowl to his name now. And an interception. Didn't he get an interception earlier this season as well? Anyhow, that's my thought on the Packers pass rush. My thought of the day about what maybe the Packers could do to improve the team, to improve the defense as a whole, that has had its issues this year, we'll say. Comment on the live blog from Kyle Cousineau. Jarrett Bush has been improved this year. I think he has. Jarrett Bush has been improved. You know, it's going on 2 years now. He was really a liability, you know, 2009, 2008, 2007. And something clicked in him last year. You know, his obvious role is on special teams, and that's where he makes the biggest impact. But, you know, in the few times he does play on defense, he's been improved. Colleen comments, I don't hear Jarrett freaking Bush half as often as I used to. Yeah. Oh, man, there was the point in, what was it, 2007, where he muffed the ball in the playoff game. Crucial moment. Anyhow, he's come a long way. And to his credit, he's always, you know, kept very quiet. He's always done the right thing, always said the right thing. And you got to respect that with Jarrett Bush. I mean, you never hear anything about him running his mouth off or anything like that. But, you know, it's the Packers' defense has to improve. And, you know, here I am on a silly podcast trying to think of ways to improve it. I imagine it's happening tenfold within the offices of Lambeau Field, figuring out ways they can improve that defense. You know, I'm sure Dom Capers and the whole staff on the Packers is figuring out ways in which they can come up with creative blitzes and who knows what coverages and you know, do they press? Do they play zone? Do they blitz? Do they not? And if so, how do they blitz? Where's it coming from? What players are going to do it? Maybe they even pull out some crazy zone blitz with B.J. Raji dropping back into coverage. So we wait and see see what the Packers have in store this upcoming Monday night for the Minnesota Vikings, another NFC North showdown. The Packers are 2-0 in the NFC North division. They've beaten the Bears. They've beaten the Vikings each once this year. And now they're finally reaching the Vikings a second time. Finally reaching them at home. First game on the road. Now they play them at home, looking to go 3-0 within the division. And that's important because, you know, I mean, technically, even though, you know, Detroit now has some losses, you know, one loss by the Packers, you know, would make the race in the division a whole lot closer, you know, with the Packers to play the Lions two more times coming up near the end of the season. The Thanksgiving game and then the New Year's Day game, last game of the year, week 17 at Lambeau Field. Those will be two big games. So a lot on the line lately and in the future. Anyhow, thank you so much for joining me, folks, on Railbird Central today. Thanks for indulging me in the DJ Smith discussion. And come back on Friday on Railbird Central. We're going to have an interview with Paul Immig of Fox Sports Wisconsin, one of the newest beat writers on the Packers scene, and a good guy. I've met Paul before, so make sure to come back on Friday for an interview here at Railbird Central. And as always, check out the coverage here at Cheesehead TV all the time. For Jamie Jors, I'm Brian Kirvu. Thanks so much for joining us today, and I will leave you here with a song from Psy Fidelity Records. I leave you with a song called Sometimes a River by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. Thanks a lot. See ya.